speaking on the issues that impact. Johnny Vedmore on today's News Talk TNT.
Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. That was a brilliant hour, I have to say. Dr. Heath giving us a little bit of advice, both female and male, giving us a little bit of advice on how we should be probably mentally well and get through this life, this hard, really hard life that we've got at the moment, where people are left with psychological operations going all over the place that are causing us confusion. And then Destiny, completely and utterly, what a knowledge she's got. She's got a massive brain on her. Can't wait to pick her mind again about stuff. Really two amazing people. Now, who are your heroes? And the question that I want to ask is, how are they funded? I spoke to Addy Ads on the show this week, who is an intrepid, unique, and rather bombast independent researcher. Many of you love his work and his style and his balls-out approach to journalism, you could say. And during that interview, he described some of our work as meta-journalism. By that, he meant that we are journalists who also sometimes investigate other journalists. Now, a lot of this, in my case, is going on behind the scenes because I've got a load of different investigations always going on, and I talk with other journalists who are looking into the same sort of things as me, and we often pass notes to each other, have a little conversation about him or her and see what we can find. But if you're applying your trade as what is coined these days as an alternative or independent journalist, you cannot help noticing that there are some very suspicious fish sharing our proverbial fish tank. It appears that some of those fish have been placed there to distract attention away because they are very bright and attractive and they cause us to be confused. Like I was talking about with the last guest, you know, this intelligence is everywhere and they are trying to co-opt everything. And that includes the information that you take in. They want that job. They want to be able to watch us. They want to be able to see what we think, and then they want to put what they think in our minds. Others are in the tank because they act like guppies, bottom feeders who eat the scraps of the mainstream media's BS. But as we alluded to in the episode with Addy Ads, many of those fishy journalists are actually constructs created either knowingly or unwittingly by programs emanating from the many national intelligence agencies who pay such people to twist the narratives, bend your consciousness, and manipulate your very reality. We all know that the mainstream media are paid heavily to trick us. As also discussed recently, BBC News receives masses of money from organizations which are used as intelligence agency conduits. And CNN are clearly deep under the bed covers with Big Pharma and others. If you watch programs like Question Time in the UK or Australia, you are also being carefully programmed. The questions are submitted beforehand and they are carefully placed. They are carefully placed plants throughout the audience to allow the chosen narrative to prevail. But the alternative media is meant to be different. We're meant to be a different breed. Many of the regular audience who listen to me have heard me refer to some of the independent media as neo-MSM. The people within that category include Tucker Carlson, Joe Rogan, Ben Shapiro, and many others who are paid millions to introduce the same sort of subversive narratives in a slightly different way. The people who see through the MSM manipulation look elsewhere for their news. And they're often funneled into what I describe as a Hegelian trap, because there are two sides to the MSM coin. There is a side we are used to and there we are used to, and there is the created antithesis to the MSM. Both sides are controlled, both sides are manipulated, and it is the same coin which is flipped over and over, leaving you distracted by the binary choices which are flashing up there in the starlight. Now, how do you fancy bank holiday weekend at a music festival for the Truth and Freedom Tribe, with 30 awake artists, including Danny Rampling and Mobius Loop, an all-night acoustic fire pit, Bouncy Castle and Hope Sussex for the children, plus loads of amazing stalls and scrumptious food vendors. This is an event not to be missed by anyone who's aware of the truth in the world. A stand in the park and the light paper present Stand in the Light, a Truth music festival in the beautiful Lake District on May the 24th to the 27th. You get 4 days camping and full access to the whole festival for just £60 plus a booking fee. Children under five come free, and there's no better bargain anywhere. Visit their website now to make sure you don't miss out on what is going to be a brilliant weekend for the whole Freedom family. That's standinthelight.uk. And I see Destiny's in the chat now, which is fantastic too. Really, you rock, Destiny. Brilliant. What a brilliant interview. And everybody in there is mingling around. I'm really happy to see that it's so busy. And if you've got any questions for my next guest who's returning from yesterday to tell us about the court case they were involved in, please put a cue beforehand and ask the man, Graham Moore, any questions you like. At TNT, we never go home. We are committed to bringing you our take on the biggest topics of our time. We broadcast live 24/7, online, globally, no matter what. We've got you covered on TNT.
Delivering the facts.
Source I can trust.
Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
So, Republicans in the House of Representatives have sent letters to more than a dozen financial institutions they suspect of colluding with the FBI and the Treasury Department to spy on Americans without a warrant after January 6, 2021 U.S. Capitol breach. Here with the story, join me again, is TNT News producer, possibly the most popular person in the chat, Adam Clark, a.k.a. Ruckus. Please tell us more.
Oh, stop it. I know I'm not the most popular person in the chat. Some days. So, this is interesting. I'm very shocking. You know, how many stories do I have to read, Johnny, in my lifetime about how my country appears to like to do things without using a warrant as they're supposed to? Kind of getting sick and tired of it. This is all, of course, related to people who were involved with, maybe, potentially, who knows? We're just using January 6th as an excuse to do things we should not be doing. So in case you missed it with the whole Jan 6th thing, and I know you're all aware of this, but supporters of Donald Trump, who was at the time president, had stormed the legislature just as Republican lawmakers were starting to register objections to certifying the 2020 election in favor of the current resident in chief, Mr. Biden. Democrats labeled the unrest as a quote unquote insurrection. I think that's how Wikipedia has it. And it's probably going to be in your kids' textbooks that way, too, if we don't change things around. They sought to arrest over 1,000 people involved in any way. They just like, you know what? If you were there, if you were thinking about it, if you farted in the wrong direction and it has anything to do with Donald Trump or Jan 6, we're coming after you. Well, now we're learning how they decided to go after people. This is shocking. Some of these people were allegedly targeted by financial institutions working alongside, colluding, as it were, with the FBI and FinCEN. That is the Treasury Department's Financial Crimes Enforcement Network. This is according to House Select Subcommittee on the Weaponization of the Federal Government, which is led by the Judiciary Committee Chair Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio. Okay, so a letter from Mr. Jordan, which has been obtained by the Daily Mail, I think we're the big ones reporting this on Thursday. This letter says, quote, the committee and select subcommittee remain concerned about how and to what extent federal law enforcement and financial institutions continue to spy on Americans by weaponizing backdoor information sharing and casting sprawling classes of transactions, purchase behavior, and protected political or religious expression as potentially suspicious or indicative of extremism, end quote. Jordan, has pointed to evidence that the FBI and FinCEN instructed banks to look, do a search in terms, right, for purchases of Bibles or search terms such as Trump or MAGA, which of course stands for Make America Great Again. I think you get the idea. Congress was already investigating Bank of America, Chase, U.S. Bank, Wells Fargo, Citibank, and Truist. Thursday's letter was sent to Charles Schwab, HSBC, Mitsubishi UFJ Financial Group, PayPal, Santander, Standard Chartered, and Western Union. That makes 13 banks or financial institutions altogether potentially involved in the dragnet. Bank of America, interestingly enough, because, you know, the name Bank of America, they alone sent data on 211 individuals to the FBI and FinCEN by January 17th of 2021. However, its SAR, Suspicious Activity Report, was sent after the federal agencies asked banks to look for, quote unquote, extremist purchases. Whoa. Four of the 211 were tagged for a follow-up and were visited by FBI agents. None of them ended up being charged with anything. That's kind of good. Let's see. Jordan writes in a separate letter to Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen, quote, this kind of warrantless financial surveillance raises serious concerns about the federal government's respect for Americans' privacy and fundamental civil liberties, end quote. And finally, Johnny, since 2021, the FBI has targeted, quote, unquote, radical traditionalist Catholics, as well as parents who spoke up at school board meetings on issues such as mask mandates or critical race theory as potential domestic terrorists. Both programs were eventually denounced after being revealed by whistleblowers. But this is how my government's acting over here, Johnny. I'm sure it's not any better for you where you are, or you, the listener. But what say you, my friend, about this report?
Yeah, they love using the authorities to influence elections in the future. Really, that's what it is. They're putting on pressure to people to say, we're watching you. We know what you're doing. We know you're buying MAGA hats. We know that you're supporting Donald Trump. We know this. And it just suggests that a lot of these federal organizations are already in the pocket of the Democrats or the deep state, and that the Democrats or the deep state or whoever they're in the pocket of are obviously against one candidate in particular. This sort of push to surveil people without warrants is something that would never, I mean, it would cause, back in the day, this sort of behavior caused investigations like you had with the committee investigating October Surprise in the 90s and the Iran-Contra affair. You know, this has large committees talking on length for a year about how terrible this sort of behavior is. And you get a feeling that this isn't going to happen in the future anymore, that now anything goes. Don't worry, because we're at the point where humans are going to give all of this power and control over to AI eventually. So no one will be held accountable, because this will all be things humans did in the past. I get a feeling like there's an element of that tech, the way tech works means that, and how fast things are moving means that people think they get extra protection, but mainly because no one gets held to account, especially when they hold a position of authority. Something we're seeing, and something we'll talk, of course, we're going to be talking to Graham Moore about in a second, is about this idea about the police who have tortured a 93-year-old man, pepper sprayed him, hit him with batons while he's got one leg in a wheelchair, and he dies 3 weeks later, and no one is going to be held to account. If we cannot hold people to account for the most basic criminal behavior that we can see, that, I mean, that is beyond understanding. If that's our society now, oh, they're in authority though, so we're not going to hold them to account, then we have not progressed at all as a society. have we? And it explains why what Destiny was saying is allowed to happen. You know, this idea that the intelligence agencies can run roughshod over us all and there's no accountability whatsoever. It's just shocking. Do you think there'll be any type of congressional hearing to come from this, or will this just be skated over and just be one of the many crimes that the deep state are committing to target and harass certain voters? Do you think that?
To be completely honest, Johnny, and I've talked to a lot of people about this who know a lot more about politics and law and stuff like that, but all of this is just for show. All of these, this weaponization subcommittee, whatever, it's got this big, long, fancy name, the committee to investigate the weaponization of a federal government. That's all they do. They just investigate, they make these reports, and they say, yep, look, the government spied on you. They did evil things. And then that's it. Nothing ever happens. Not a damn thing. And so I don't understand the point of this. It's just a giant waste of time, taxpayer dollars, energy. I don't get it. It's distraction. People love to talk about it. I guess it keeps the whole thing going. But at the end of the day, as you're indicating here, no one is actually physically, literally held to account. And as far as this goes, the bigger issue is these SARs, the suspicious activity reports. This has been a big problem for a while. So now we're just kind of like, they're okay to talk about it as it's being presented in the context of the January 6th thing, because people can get behind this and be like, oh, how dare you? You went after Trump supporters. And everyone's missing the larger picture that all governments everywhere are doing this to all citizens. It doesn't have anything to do with Trump. So we're big brother. And I think a lot of this is training the bots, because the next time around is going to be the algorithm that does this, not people.
You are spot on, Ruckus. I mean, the fact is that we've got to fight against tyranny. But if tyranny is constant and all over the place, then we're constantly fighting, which keeps us distracted while they continue to be tyrannical in much more serious ways that we aren't fighting. So, yeah, I think this is a lot of this is drama and soap opera. Well, thank you very much for that, Ruckus. I'm pretty positive you're going to go and have a lovely weekend this weekend. Yeah.
Oh, absolutely, my friend. I will see everybody on Monday.
Okay, try not to get... hope the FBI don't knock on your door and ask you why you're buying MAGA hats or anything. Be safe, my friend. Be safe. Thanks to Ruckus Sayre, who always brings us some fantastic news. And we are going to a short little break before I introduce my next guest. You're watching The Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT.
A better business tip from TNT Radio. The benefits of advertising on today's news talk, TNT Radio, should be clear to businesses of any shape or size. It can be accessed anywhere, anytime, by anybody, and is the perfect way to build brand awareness and stimulate digital activity. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live.
Today's News Talk Radio.
I do a lot of streaming radio.
I do a lot of free streaming.
TNTradio.live.
Yes, it's true. Welcome back to the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk. And there's Ruckus, who's accusing me of having a chamber pot in my studio in the chat. Let's not talk about that anymore. But obviously, that's going to cause some sort of a conspiratorial chat in there. Join it, please. Get on to tntradio.live. Get in the chat and start talking about my lack of chamber pot if you want. I am here with my next guest. Now, my next guest is Graham Moore. He's common law and English constitution expert, founder of the English Constitution Party. You can follow him on Graham H. Moore, that's M-O-O-R, on X, and you can find his website at English Constitution Party. thegreenparty.com. And we were talking yesterday, of course. Graham, thank you for joining us today on today's news talk on TNT. We have more time today, and I hope you can cover this case more comprehensively. Give us an update as well. So I was filling in my brother from another mother, the man monkey, about the case last night, and he was totally in shock about the details. Can you give the people who maybe weren't watching or listening yesterday a little bit of a recap about how we got here?
So obviously we're talking about a case today in the High Court, and that was with a guy called Charlie Staples. So just to make sure everyone's aware what happened, during the lockdowns, he was coming to meet us at Trafalgar Square. On his way to meet us, bearing in mind he's a constitutionalist, he believes in the rule of law, he is non-violent, and he talks about the Constitution the same as we all do. He's quite a young man. At the time, he was 23 years old, and the riot police decided to accost him, become aggressive and attack him. A police sergeant forced him to the ground. A number of other officers jumped on him. They handcuffed him with his hands behind his back. They was using pain constraint techniques. That means pressure points. They nearly broke his jaw. They was kneeing him in the side, etc. And one of the officers, a police sergeant, was smashing his head on the floor on the road. All of this was videoed by independent journalists, who then gave us the footage. And on the independent footage, you could clearly hear the independent journalist saying, "You're supposed to be de-escalating this. He's done nothing wrong, etc." To cut a long story short, one of the other ones put his hand, his gloved hand, and clamped his nose and over his mouth, trying to cut his airway off. The other guy had already smashed his head on the floor several times. Again, it was all videoed. The main tortfeasor basically then rubbed his hand inside his mouth, and Charlie could feel his mouth and his throat burning. And what we believe is he had pepper spray on his glove and was rubbing it inside his mouth. Don't forget, he's got his arms behind his back. He's of small stature. He's about 9 stone. Two of these officers are 18 stoners, so very large police officers in full riot gear. What happened then is the police officer, the police sergeant, decided to arrest him, and that case was thrown out, and the magistrates, and that was to do with being in a group of people of larger than 30. It was all rubbish. It got thrown out. But he also then charged him with assaulting an emergency worker. So he had said that Charlie had bit him, and that was completely false. So by the time it starts to go through the process, Charlie has opted to go for a jury trial at Isleworth Crown Court. He put his evidence and he defended himself. With my guidance, the judge put to the jury torture as a defense and said it was unlawful, in his opinion, unlawful violence used by the police. The police sergeant had deleted or removed his camera. So the person with all of the images of him actually doing the damage, that suddenly disappeared. However, the other three officers' cameras were still working. So that information was used, and we had the independent journalist and two sets of statements from independent journalists. Very important, because various other media outlets would never allow that information to be used against the police. So he was found unanimously not guilty by the jury. Once that had progressed, the case had progressed, and it took 18 months to get to court. And that case obviously was thrown out. We then issued a tort case against the four individual officers and the police commissioner, Metropolitan Police Commissioner. The Met Police solicitors and barristers come back and said, no, you can't sue individual officers. You can only sue the police commissioner or the chief constable, which is completely wrong. So they asked for a strikeout. And that case today was heard at the High Court. A number of us went to the court. The judge was very good in chambers and allowed us to come into the chambers. Her name was Ebony Allen. Extremely good judge, listened to everything that was said. And the barrister, so the judge asked who I was, and I said, I'm a McKenzie friend of Charlie, and Charlie was sitting there. And Charlie was quite nervous. So she said, I'll allow you to speak for him, right? Now, in the High Court, that is quite an honour, right? So we was polite, courteous, and we went through the law. There was a number of strikeout options that they had there. And you could see that the police barrister, and it was a barrister, kept saying that you could not, because they're employees, it must be vicarious liability, and it is the chief constable, etc. We then argued that the Police Act 1996 doesn't say that, doesn't say that the chief constable is the sole tortfeasor. It says joint tortfeasor, that each individual officer is in effect individually liable, and he kept saying that they are employees. And he used a case, an old case from 2012, and he basically said, this is the seasoned ruling. It was a seven-panel Supreme Court ruling. He told us the paragraphs. He just threw it over, you know, an hour before the hearing started. And I read it and said, it's completely wrong. What he's relying on is completely different to our arguments. The judge listened. We also said, here is the evidence and the authorities that we rely on. And one of those authorities is the Police Federation's own presentation from their website, and showed page 4, and it stated that police officers are not employees, police officers are Crown servants, and police officers are individually liable. And the one thing I will say about that is there was a number of other issues. I can tell everyone that the judge found in our favour and said, we are not striking it out. Each individual officer is liable. This case is going forward as 5 defendants, and that's what we've got, basically. So we won. There was one element that was struck out. Strategically, we're not worried about that. So we've won again against the barrister. He wasn't very happy. He was one of their top barristers, and he basically stormed out or scuttled off, and he wasn't very impressed that a McKenzie friend and lay person had annihilated him in the arguments.
Awesome. That sounds brilliant. Listen, I got to go to a quick news break for 30 seconds, but we'll learn more about this when we come back. You're listening to today's News Talk on TNT.
Question.
Huh? What are you guys doing today?
The news.
Now, TNT Radio News.
Sounds good.
For TNT, this is James O'Neill. French President Emmanuel Macron has called for decisive policy changes in the European Union to secure its strategic autonomy, particularly in military production, as he anticipates a shift towards right-wing nationalist politics in the upcoming European Parliament elections. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has condemned the pro-Palestinian protests occurring at U.S. universities as anti-Semitic and called for them to be stopped, describing the situation as reminiscent of the 1930s Germany.
The common housefly, caught in the clutches of the spider's web. Every move it makes just makes matters worse. Then, dinner time.
Feast on the captivating stories, videos, and helpful information on our website.
Whoa.
Dinner's ready.
Oh, man.
Escape is futile.
Just one more video.
Get stuck in our web.
TNTradio.live.
So I'm here with Graham Moore, and we're discussing the cases gone in the High Court that they've actually won, which is a really brilliant thing to have happened. I know you were worried about the judge because she seemed like she had a bit of a woke agenda, but it turns out that hasn't mattered too much. But they changed the judge at the last minute. Why do you think they did that then?
I'm not entirely sure why they did it. The judge that we was allocated is a very, very experienced common law judge. I mean, when I say very experienced, I mean very experienced. The judge that we was in front of today, Ebony Allen, I did the research on her, and it turns out she's got a lot of commercial experience. That actually went in our favour. So the research I did on the judge was trying to find out what is it that she would understand and trigger the argument in our favour. And she accepted entirely that the argument that the barrister, the police barrister, was coming out with was not relevant because the case he was using was about employees and a company. And she said, these are clearly Crown servants. And she said, what we're talking about here are serious and a serious assault by a number of officers on Mr. Staples. It's not the same type of case. And therefore, I understand the principle that Mr. Staples wants justice in court. So she was very good. She did listen. She was very patient. And what I really liked at the end of it, she said, Mr. Moore, I am very grateful for your assistance and you have been very helpful, right? So again, this wasn't, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, it wasn't a free man and a land thing. This, I've studied the law for 30 years. I've read law for 30 years. I'm the only person, as far as I know, layperson, who's ever took the British government to court in the European Court of Human Rights and got an injunction against the British government, right? So again, that people have started to realize you've got to do it the right way. You've got to understand the law. You need to understand how to read law. And there were some elements that the other side had put forward. Some of the things that they were saying was complete nonsense. And again, you can't say to the judge, that's complete nonsense. You need to say, excuse me, Your Honor, but here is the authority that I rely on, and this was the judgment. And the judge will look at it and say, well, actually, he's right. So it creates a problem from if you are professional. She allowed five of us in her chambers that was all listening to the case. No one said a word. There was no disrespect to the judge or her position. And all of that counts in your favour. So again, just to let you know and the audience know, what does that mean? Well, it means that we've now got five tortfeasors in the High Court. We've now got to make an amended case, which isn't a problem. We've agreed to do that. The amended case is the Police Commissioner Sir Mark Rowley and two police sergeants and two police constables, all in the riot squad. What difference does it make? Well, the damages that are awarded, and we're talking about exemplary damages and vindictory damages, which basically means you're vindicating your rights and our rights that we're putting forward. And we're also asking for exemplary damages, which is a punitive damage. In other words, to stop them doing it again and doing it to other people. The police commissioner, his damages are taken from police funds. In other words, it's taxpayers' money. And what the police was trying to do on the barrister's side was to ensure it was just against the police commissioner, and therefore the damages was only paid by the taxpayer. That is not punitive. and it doesn't assist the public, and it's not, in my view, it's not in the public interest. So what the judges agreed is, if the case is now going ahead against the individuals, they are liable. What does that mean? It means that if the award of damages, if they are found liable for the series of torts that are being put against them, and there is a mountain of evidence against them, they will have to individually pay the damages. So let's say that the damages are £100,000 per officer. They have to pay that out of their own pocket. So one of the officers has recently resigned, or whatever you want to call it, the lead tortfeasor. And we know that he was paid tax-free £130,000 as a police sergeant. We're aiming to take that off him. And if he doesn't pay us, we will take his house off him. And if the other officers don't pay us, we will take their houses off them. But they must learn not to use unlawful force against members of the public that have shown no violence whatsoever or aggression towards them, right? So they went out looking for a fight. Most members of the public probably wouldn't have got involved with what Charlie's involved with now, but most members of the public are not members of the English Constitution Society, are not constitutionalists, and involved with a group like us that believe in the rule of law. Every bully meets his match. And today in that courtroom, the judge allowed me to speak for Charlie. We put the case across and it's all proceeding.
That is beautiful. I love every single part of that. And that'll be a make my brother from another mother monkey very happy, because we both do police auditing together at times. And we try and do the same thing, you know, make sure that we keep the police on camera, keep holding them to account. We're going to take another quick break and then we're going to really launch into a couple of questions here. And there's some people in the chat as well who have some questions for you, Graham. You're listening to Today's News Talk on TNT.
She used to dance and dream of a better life, a brighter future, with nutritious food to eat, a chance to learn, to get an education, and do incredible things. Today, thanks to Children International and friends like you, she dances for the world. Together, we give children in poverty a chance to set their sights high and achieve their dreams by ensuring that they have access to healthcare, education, life skills, and more, so they can grow, thrive, and believe in themselves.
Gracias. Gracias.
Learn more about Children International and join us in our life-changing work at children.org today.
Eggs. You can fry them, scramble them, poach them, boil them, or race them on a spoon. But uncooked eggs can be a risk for food poisoning. To be safe, avoid buying dirty or cracked eggs. Always wash your hands after handling eggs. And if you're concerned, pregnant, elderly, or have a poor immune system, make sure you cook eggs until the yolk starts to firm. Or look for new pasteurized eggs. For excellent eggs, handle them safely.
Speaking on the issues that impact, Johnny Vedmore on Today's News Talk, TNT.
I'm here with Graham Moore, and it is time to celebrate a little bit for the weekend, because there's been a little bit of a victory there in the case. I'm looking across at the chat here, Graham. I see that, of course, so you're getting lots of praise. June English says, Graham, you're an absolute genius with the real English constitutional law. There is a question, it's a slightly off topic, but I don't like to skip out any questions. But there is a question for you saying, from Holly, saying they're all talking on the MSM about the amount of people that just won't vote as they're disenchanted. I understand about spoiling the ballot and writing I do not consent. How do we educate all these people that not voting is agreeing with whatever outcome there is?
The so only way to be fair, I'm seeing lots of people do that. I can tell you now, the deep state, the establishment, the regime, if you want to call it that, are getting very, very, very worried. Ashby versus White, 1703, that judgment was a powerful judgment, and it states that you are governed by consent, and that without the consent of the people, you cannot form a parliament, you cannot make laws, and you cannot tax people. So the more people that write the message, I do not consent, that ballot is counted. There are individuals out there that are saying that any form of ballot is part of the system. It's completely wrong. They're actually doing what the Marxists and the regime want. Worry about yourself. We're only looking at the people that don't vote. 60% of the population, in some places 70% of the population, have stopped voting. If we can get them people to write on their ballot, I do not consent, there will be no government, and we will be in the High Court and explaining what we want from the system. So people need to understand it is extremely powerful.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Thank you. I know that was a bit off topic, but I know my audience loves an answer, and sometimes their questions just pop into their head. June English says again, what is the actual job as intended of a judge? And someone replied, Lord Melbury replied, in today's corrupt judicial system, a judge is often there to be the safe hands to protect the interests of the state. Is that what you find as well, Graham?
I absolutely agree with that comment, but the problem you've got, unless you present cases, you don't get it on record. You must get the case on record, you must get the claims in, and you must challenge the system via either the ballot box or through the High Court or the courts. My personal opinion of the legal profession is they have got a bad name, solicitors, lawyers, judges, to the same extent as the police. They will protect the regime, the British regime in this case. And the only real way to challenge this is to keep pushing forward and doing it. All the time you think there's no point in doing it, they're getting away with it.
Yeah, Harley, thanks you for your answer about the voting as well. Where does this case? So, how does this case proceed? When you get, they want you to alter the case in some way and then take it again. And then, is the barrister going to turn up for the police, representing the police, and try the same thing, or are they going to use different tactics next time? And what tactics do you think they'll use?
So the main tactic now is they'll go back as a team. They will then say to the Police Federation, to the Metropolitan Police Commissioner, all five of you are in court. All five of you must come to court. They will look at a settlement figure. I don't know what that's going to be. We have enough evidence to 100% to ensure the liability is in our favour, in other words, against them. So it now puts the ball, they are the ones under pressure. So where they originally, Charlie Staples was put through the mill, through the Crown Court and a jury trial, they are now the defendants. I mean, that's how they're described in court. So, you know, I mean, when Charlie came out of court today, he had a massive smile on his face, and he said, you know, we just got to do this. I mean, we've got a small amount of court costs we've got to pay. The judge said, is there any fee for yourself? I said, no, there's no fee for me. So, you know, it's not, there is no, we're not there to earn money out of this. We're about protecting the people and using the law. And any of our skills that we can put forward to do that is in the public interest. And that's what we're about. And again, I'm a constitutionalist. So the English common law, the constitution, the history of our law, it's very difficult for barristers, because barristers don't know the Constitution. I mean, and it can be very embarrassing for them.
Yeah, I can't even imagine, because I don't understand all of it, of course. I mean, the law is extremely complex for someone who doesn't understand the law. Even the basics can be a little bit like make your eyes turn in and roll around and make me look confused. So when the barrister came in with that sort of, could he have come in? Do you think he could have come in with a different approach that would have actually led to you being defeated in this? Was there something, I don't want you to give advice to the opposing barristers, but was there something, do you think, that they could have done to kind of stop you on this?
Well, I can tell you now, he was pursuing it to the last. When I say they was aggressively trying to get this thrown out against the individual officers, you could tell that was their key thing. That's what they needed to get thrown out, right? We won that, hands down. One of the things that we said to the judge, because we'd also, don't forget, you've got the Criminal Justice Act, 1988, Section 134 and Section 135. So we spoke about that. And the judge said, but is this torture? And I said, torture isn't pulling your fingernails out. That's just one element of it. There are other elements to torture. The definition of torture is spelled out by the United Nations Convention Against Torture, and it covers a myriad of things. This is classed as torture under international law. And if we have to bring this case in Texas, and I express Texas for a reason, because Texas, the English common law is part of their state constitution. It has been since 1836. And we've already had a case conference with Texas lawyers, and I made sure that they knew that in the court. So one way or the other, it either gets heard in this country, or we will pick it up and take it to the United States of America, where there's no limits to what the jury then expresses as damages. And remember this, the principal tortfeasor would not only be the police commissioner and the four officers, but also King Charles III, because they are crown servants, and King Charles III is the monarch. We live in a constitutional monarchy, and technically King Charles III is the head of our state. So just to make sure everyone understands, the British ratified the United Nations Convention Against Torture, and then they incorporated it into English law. The point being, by ratifying it and incorporating it into English law, they agreed for these types of cases to be heard in external jurisdictions. They did that. I didn't do it. So they've now got a serious problem.
Yes, they do. And is Texas the only state that's incorporated English constitutional law into their system in America?
Technically, the United States of America is English common law. Louisiana is Roman law, so it's a bit like Scotland to us, right? It's a Roman law jurisdiction, a slightly different setup, but they're governed by the American Constitution. What people don't realize is in America, you've got something called the Alien Tort Act. And as long as you can show there is a connection between the two nations, so England and Texas, and you can't get a greater connection than Texas sharing in their constitution the English common law in its entirety. So that's why Texas is a very, very good state. And the judges in Texas are trained in the common law of England. So you've got a whole different view of constitutional issues. They respect the English Bill of Rights. They respect the Constitution of the United States of America and their state constitution. So it creates a massive problem. Are there other states in America? Yes, there are. But what you really got to look at is the nailed on effect of the English common law in a state. And one of the reasons why Texas is such a fantastic place to live, if anyone's ever been out there, they'll understand it. They're friendly, they're lovely people. It's because they have the English, they may have American Texan accents, or Texan accents, I should say, but they have English culture. Welsh, but don't forget, so Wales, it is part of England. It's a common law jurisdiction. So again, it became part of England in 1536. I haven't got a problem with Wales being completely independent, right? Because I believe that everyone should have self-determination. And that's one of the strong points of Texas. They believe that too. So again, people in this country don't know anything about UNCAT. They don't know anything about the Criminal Justice Act 1988, Section 134. They don't know that the government put in an unlawful veto, which we are now announcing to, one, the UN in Switzerland, and two, the UN in New York, and three, we're putting the same argument to the Judicial Committee in the House of Commons, and we're going to progress that in a slightly different way, but people will understand. I don't know if anyone's aware of this, but Sir Vince Cable was on the board of directors of Royal Dutch Shell. Royal Dutch Shell basically instructed the president of Nigeria to torture and execute nine Nigerian eco-activists. That family tried to bring to justice Sir Vince Cable and Royal Dutch Shell in the English courts, and the British would have none of it. So they picked the case up and they took it to New York. Within 18 months, they had a massive out-of-court settlement. So people must understand, when you sign up to the universal jurisdiction for human rights issues and torture, universally, torture, that means state officials using unlawful violence, coercion, intimidation, etc., upon a subject of England or a citizen of any other country that signed up to universal jurisdiction. One thing that people need to understand, right, is there is an absolute restriction on torture. You have an absolute right not to be tortured. And it comes from the English Bill of Rights.
There's a couple of questions coming from the chat. We've got a couple of minutes left, so it has to be quick. But Daniel, who I love very much, says, if you write on the ballot, will the ballot counters bin the slip? Because he's been told that happens by his Mrs. Susan, who has counted ballots in the past. Do you know if that's a thing?
So when you write, I do not consent on a ballot, it is counted as part of the turnout. So at the end of the count, they have to show the candidates every one of the spoilt ballots. And the more spoilt ballots there are, and especially with I do not consent written on them, the higher that figure is. If that figure is higher than all of the candidates or the winning candidate, it causes them a massive issue because we're not consenting. And if you write the actual term, I do not consent, Ashby versus White 1703, that is the challenge in the High Court. It causes a problem. Don't forget that Queen Anne pre-rogued Parliament because they was debating the rights of an Englishman to vote or not vote. And she basically said, how dare you? And you cannot go against the rights of an Englishman. So again, it's constitutional law. People need to understand it's part of our foundational law. Everyone's heard the term governed by consent. Ashby versus White 1703. Anyone else out there saying whatever they want to say, they don't understand the Constitution. Most people, my library, personal library, all around me here, is books that are 100, 200, 300 years old, original prints, right? I actually read law, the real law. I don't make it up and get on different platforms and start coming out of all sorts of weird stuff. I tell you what the actual law of the land is. Many barristers don't know what the law is.
Graham, my friend, thank you for coming on today. Thank you. Thank you for doing what you do. Congratulations on the win. Keep it up, my friend. I hope to see you soon, all right?
Yeah, definitely. Thank you.
Excellent. What a man. Thanks again. Listen, we're at the end. So thanks to all my guests, the awesome Dr. Heath, Destiny Resendez, the awesome Graham Moore, who everybody's going wild for in the chat, of course, says he should be on all of the time, probably every day. He should probably replace me. Why not? Each of them is involved in vital work, which helps us all. Again, we've reached the end of another week on the Johnny Vedmore Show on today's News Talk TNT. Thank you for being with me, for getting involved in the chat. Thank you for all your support. Stay tuned. Up next is the Mark Morano Show. Until next week, my friends, stay safe, stay awake, don't go changing. And thanks for sticking with us. See you again Monday on today's News Talk TNT.